Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
For 3 days, nearly 50 people gathered at Montpelier, talking for hours, hashing out details for a first-ever guidebook. A set of standardized best practices to say, here's what responsible, thoroughly researched education about slavery looks like. Nothing like this exists yet. The history and enduring legacies of slavery have never been fully told in this country. And so, for better or worse, everyone's been creating their own process, figuring it out as they go along, says Kat Imhoff, president and CEO of Montpelier, which earlier this year opened an extensive $6 million exhibit on slavery and the enslaved.
We wanted to say, yes, we've done this permanent exhibition at Montpelier, but what more can we do? And as we reflected on that, we really struck that so many other places are really struggling in the same conversation.
So they put out the call, and 4 dozen people from 13 states answered. The group met in a giant conference room. Executive directors sat next to archaeologists and professors, activists and historians, and throughout were descendants of African Americans enslaved at what we now call historic sites. Descendants like George Monroe Jr., whose family was enslaved by America's fifth president, James Monroe, at Ashlawn Highland outside Charlottesville. George did a massive amount of research, and then
I reached out. I said, hey, hello. My last name is Monroe, and I think we may be linked to this particular community. So it was kind of like, well, interesting. We didn't know you guys were there.
Sitting next to George was Sarah Mon Harper, executive director of Ashlawn Highland since 2012.
Here we've been for this long. Really, it's not too strong to say ignorant of the history and the attachments of the descendants of enslaved people from Highland, right here and right nearby. So we have a lot of making up to do for having been ignorant that long. And the fact that we get to share this weekend and these conversations will be, I think, an incredible framework. And I hope you feel that way,
yes,
George.
Yes, definitely.
Now, they're collaborating on the site's larger visitor experience, as Montpelier did. And that's exactly what the weekend was about. How do sites best engage descendant communities? Do they hire them on staff, on boards? How do they empower them to tell their story? Ashley Rogers is the director of the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana. She says historically, those storytelling roles have been closed off.
And that's a really comfortable spot to be the person who's calling the shots and saying, this is how things were. We're the knowledge keepers, right? That's what we do. We collect the knowledge and we keep it, and then we disseminate it to you. But the problem is that museums are vastly white organizations. They're vastly upper class organizations, and they have in the past and even today done really destructive things to marginalized communities.
And it's not just historic sites and museums. The Southern Poverty Law Center recently issued an extensive report finding that schools across the country are doing a dismal job at teaching slavery. Maureen Costello is the report's author and says the past is very much alive.
We are never going to be able to deal with the profound racial disparities we have and with the racial injustice we have now unless we bring people back to really talk about what really happened during slavery.
Teachers teach what's available to them, says Costello. It's a food chain. Better engagement with descendants leads to better research and information, which leads to better education and ultimately better informed decisions. Naya Bates is the public historian of slavery and African American life at Monticello.
We're not just stuffy historians in some attic, right? We're actually out here making a real difference in the community.
The group aims to issue a final report later this year with a scalable set of best practices and suggested guidelines. I'm Jordy Yeager.